The significance of October 7th, 1979, said with dramatic effect like Dr. Emmett Brown from Back to the Future, but it has nothing to do with the Back to the Future movies. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Brandon Legal Group is the sponsor of the Todd Wright Toddcast and has been for many years. I met Brandon Legal Group recently. We had a good time over lunch. We were bowling at Pin Chasers, and we were just talking about various things that were going on in the world and what was keeping them busy. One of the things keeping them busy is helping adult males residing in the state of Florida who continue to ignore the fact that permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida since July 1st of 2023. Been a lot of changes in the law recently, personal property, noise statutes. Caddyshack for you. I said to them, do you want me to emphasize anything else as your paid non-attorney spokesperson? And they still believe that this message is the best message I can provide to my audience. If you are an adult male and you are a state of Florida resident and you continue to pay by law permanent alimony, the law is now on your side, and if you contact Brandon Legal Group for a free consult, they can help with a potential reduction or outright elimination of future permanent alimony payments. 813-902-3576 or go to brandonlegalgroup.com and request a free consult. I mentioned we were at Pin Chasers because the Pin Chasers Brandon location is, I don't know, maybe driver hybrid from a little more. Driver hybrid, driver wedge. Sure. Everything in golf terms to me are football terms or Caddyshack terms, Seinfeld terms. It's close. The Brandon location is the fourth location in the Pin Chasers family. They have one on 301. They have one near the Veterans, just north of the Tampa International Airport. And they have one in what they call Midtown. Now, that's not the Midtown where, say, Walk-Ons and Whole Foods is. They call it Midtown. It's on Armenia. And that's where Down to Bowl is going to be, a now sold-out event featuring my friend Drew Garabo and his longtime friend and former co-host, John Senning, raising money for the Down Syndrome Association of Tampa Bay. So, bowling, food, and fun at Pin Chasers. I didn't realize they do breakfast all day. My bad, because while the guys from Brandon Legal Group were enjoying a tasty pizza provided by Pin Chasers, I asked to order off the breakfast side of the menu, and Christine made me a wonderful breakfast sandwich. And it wasn't just for me. Anybody can get breakfast all day at Pin Chasers. Four locations, bowling, food, and fun. For lane reservations, party planning, go to pinchasers.net. My email, also follow them on Instagram for updates on their specials, a lot of fun photos there. It's at Pin Chasers on Instagram. Email, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. I'm still waiting to hear from more of you who profited based on the advice I gave you in this podcast and the Todd Wright Survivor Football podcast. Still very proud of what I did on these respective podcasts for the 2024 NFL season with the audio proof. We gave you all eight NFL division winners before the season began, and we went 8-for-8 in the last eight NFL postseason games against the spread, including predicting an Eagle blowout where I personally profited laying 11 points on a legal Florida site at plus 475 odds. So I hope you profited. I thank you for listening, and I'm glad I can give you good information. I already feel like next year is going to be a disaster for me because this year went so good. That's just how these things go. But 2024, we had a lot of things right. Speaking of football, I went down this wormhole recently and ended up on the date of October 7th, 1979. No, I didn't travel back to it in the DeLorean using the flux capacitor and going 88 miles per hour. I wish I could. One of the things that I changed about my life last summer was I removed beer and added books. I know it sounds funny, but it's made me a healthier person physically and mentally. I still enjoy a good whiskey. I have come to like the neutrals that our friends at Hooters, who sponsor the fantasy podcast, continue to serve for $4.99. Very fair price. And it's not like I didn't read before, but I didn't read long-form books. And I found more enjoyment than I thought going, turning pages and or using a service called Audible. I'm sure there are other services to listen to audiobooks. And it's how I've gained a lot of knowledge that I've shared in these podcasts. And the most recent audiobook that I jumped into was, what's the actual name of it? Because I want to give attribution. The book's called Charlie Hustle by Keith O'Brien, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose and the Last Glory Days of Baseball. Now, some of you know me well enough to know I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. Spent my very early years as a kid there until my grandparents, who I had spent much time with in Cincinnati, but my grandparents, through wonderful legal people like, say, Brandon Legal Group, but in Cincinnati, won full custody of me as their grandson, and we moved to the Gulf beaches of the Tampa Bay area from Cincinnati. That happened when I was roughly 7 or 8 years old. I grew up loving the Big Red Machine, collecting the Reds baseball cards, living by as much as I could see or hear or know about a starting lineup that was Bench Perez, later Dreesen, Morgan Concepcion Rose, thankfully not Vukovic, Foster, Geronimo Griffey, managed by Sparky Anderson. Some people even reached out to me after Pete recently died and said, hey, how you doing? And I said, I'm doing fine. I feel bad for Pete, but he lived a long life. I believe he was around 80 when he died. And I'm not going to get into the Hall of Fame stuff, but he was banned for life. His life is over. I have felt all along there would be a movement to put Pete in posthumously, and I'm now waiting for that to start to get some traction. Pete even talked about it on an HBO documentary that he did that was pointed out by a good friend of the podcast. Thank you, Andrew. That I've watched about 30 minutes of, but I've been enjoying this audiobook called Charlie Hustle. And when Pete and waves of great baseball players first became free agents in the late 70s, it wasn't there. It's amazing we talk about it now in all these sports. Oh, when can they become a free agent? Oh, when's free agency start? It's kind of like the sun rises and the sun sets. It wasn't that way. So Pete had to battle every year, often lost in his mind, with Reds management for more money. So when he was able to become a free agent and shop his services, some interesting things happened I wasn't aware of if it wasn't for the book by Keith O'Brien. One was that the handful of teams that bid for Pete's services and what their bids were. There were varying things involved. The Cardinals were throwing in beer distributorships because the Bush family could. There was a bid that involved pick your horse as part of the deal. The Pirates, I know this sounds odd, the Pirates made a free agent bid at Pete Rose. The only American team, American League team that made a bid at Pete Rose was the Kansas City Royals. I didn't know that either. Ted Turner made Pete the best offer because Ted wanted Pete on the Superstation and felt the investment in Pete would pay for itself because the Braves were really bad, but Turner had the Braves becoming, quote, America's team as a baseball team via satellite television throughout the Southeast United States, and it was growing. So Ted Turner had the best free agent offer to Pete, 4 years, $4 million. No, not $4 million per year. 4 years, a total of $4 million. And according to the book, after those 4 years, Pete would receive $100,000 per year for the rest of his life from Ted Turner. Pete turned it down. It felt one tangible reason was the Braves weren't good enough. It felt like listening to the book, and based on what had happened to end his hit streak in 78, Pete was still holding a grudge against how hard the Braves played to end Pete's hit streak at 44 games. That's my opinion. So Pete took a deal from the Phillies, from a family that ran an explosive business that later got into plastics and became DuPont. The deal was 4 years, $3.25 million total, because Pete felt he could win in Philadelphia. And he would start playing first base there because the Phillies obviously had one of the greatest of all time, Michael Jack Schmidt, playing over at third base. So there were some other interesting things about all this with Pete joining the Phillies, and I'm just 1 year in. And that first year, the Phillies didn't get over the hump in 79. Pete had a phenomenal season. I think he hit 333. So he didn't make the postseason. And on October 7th of 1979, here we go, Pete suddenly shows up on the NFL Today football pregame show on CBS, which had started becoming a thing. I loved the NFL Today. I love Pete Rose. I don't remember seeing this episode. October 7, 1979 was week six of the NFL season. Pete shows up, presumably, to talk about the baseball playoffs. But that episode, there was no Jimmy the Greek Snyder, who had to miss that show due to injuries suffered in a recent motorbike accident. Some may remember, I do, Brent Musburger, host of the NFL Today, and the Greek would stand in front of a board of NFL games and put check marks on who would win. And for any game where a team would lose but maybe cover, the Greek would always say, but keep it close. So since the Greek wasn't there, Brent did the segment with Pete. Now this sort of fed to is Pete too into betting on other things? Why is Pete so involved with gambling? So Brent walks him through the day's games. I went back and looked some of the things up that Pete said. Pete went with Buffalo over Chicago, lost. Believe it or not, that game ended 7-0, Bears. So Pete lost that one. Pete liked Atlanta over Green Bay. He was right. Falcons won 25-7. Pete liked New England over Detroit. He got that one right, 24-17. Then he highlighted, because Pete had come to know a lot of people in Tampa over the years, training, spring training with the Reds, and now spring training in Clearwater with the Phillies. And Pete said, but here's the best bet of the day. The Bucks laying 6 at New York against the Giants. That's what Pete said. Now, I remember vividly that game. So let me walk you through it. The Bucks started 1979 winning 5 in a row. Let's remember, this was only the 4th year the Bucks were in existence. In 1976, they went 0-14. In 1977, they went 0-12 before they blew out New Orleans at the Superdome to get Hank Stram fired. Hank never coached again. Then the Bucks came home, beat the then St. Louis Cardinals for their first ever home win. Finished the 77 season with a 2-game win streak. Get into 78, not great. They didn't lose every game like they basically did 76 in the first 12 of 77, but I think they won 5 in 78. Then suddenly in 79, win. After the 4th win at home against the LA Rams, they put the Bucks on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was either unbeaten or undefeated. I think it was unbeaten, untied, and unbelievable. It was either Dewey Selman or a linebacker of the Bucks. It wasn't Leroy, wrapping up one of the Rams' offensive players. So the Bucks were 5-0. And in the game that Pete Rose is talking about on the NFL Today, he's like, this is the best bet of the day right here. The Bucks were a 6-point favorite. You couldn't say it on the air back then. That's why the Greek had to say, but keep it close, if it was a cover situation. But Pete brought up, he said, I think the Bucks will win by more than 6 points at New York. He brought that up because the spread was 6 points. It was also significant, and why I'm doing this podcast for you, because it was the first time ever the Buccaneers were a road favorite. It took them until week 6 of their 4th season against an 0-5 New York Giant team that was a mess under head coach Ray Perkins to be a road favorite. Pete got the game wrong. As Buck fans know, the 5-0 Bucks as a road favorite lost to the 0-5 Giants 17-14. In what was also the first ever NFL game started by a rookie quarterback named Phil Simms, who had been drafted 7th overall in the 79 draft, second quarterback off the board. Here's another Buck connection. The quarterback that went before Phil Simms to Cincinnati was Jack Thompson, the throwing Samoan, one of many failed Bengal quarterback first round draft picks over the years. So it was Phil Simms' first start Here were Sims' numbers that day. 6 of 12 for 37 yards. He was sacked twice. No picks. The net passing yards for the Giants with Phil Sims at quarterback that day was 18 yards against the Bucs defense. Sims again, 6 of 12, 37 yards. Sacked twice. I guess he lost 18 yards on this. He lost 19 yards on the sacks. So the Giants had a net of 18 yards passing, but still won on the strength of building a lead early. Billy Taylor, running back for the Giants, 33 carries, 148 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Giants, I think, had about 50 rushing attempts. They had more, 4 times more running attempts than Sims had passing attempts. There were a total of 16 punts in the game, 8 for the Giants, 8 for the Bucks, 15 accepted penalties in the game. This game was awful. Doug Williams threw 3 picks. And despite touchdown passes to Larry Mucker and Jimmy Giles, a Joe DiNello field goal earlier in the game was the difference. Giants got their first win. Phil Sims gets his first career win. Bucks first loss in their first ever game as a road NFL favorite in their franchise history. I mentioned Ray Perkins was head coach. Bill Parcells had agreed earlier in the calendar year of 79 to be the defensive coordinator. Then after about 6 weeks, he quit. Why? His family didn't want to leave Colorado. The previous year, Parcells had been head coach of the Air Force Academy. Won 3 games. 1 year. Parcells had previously coached at Army. He's at Air Force in 78. Wins 3. Ray Perkins asks him, and Parcells agrees, to be his defensive coordinator in New York with the Giants. After 6 weeks, Parcells leaves, citing, "My family doesn't want to leave Colorado." Parcells goes home to Colorado, apparently later called it one of the toughest years of his life because he wasn't involved in football for the 79 season. Also, I need to point out the Giants successfully faked a punt in this game, or there would have been 17 punts. Their all-pro punter, Dave Jennings, had a run for 8 yards in this game. The fake punt called by special teams coach of the Giants, Bill Belichick. A lot of things going on there. October 7th, 1979. Pete Rose doing the NFL today. Pete Rose picks the Bucks laying 6 as a road favorite for the first time in franchise history. And Phil Sims as a starting quarterback for the first time in NFL history beats Doug and the Bucks 17-14. And Phil goes 6 of 12 for 18 yards net passing. Yeah, a lot going on there. Also shows how patient teams were with quarterbacks back then. So you're saying, well, Phil Sims, of course he was good. You know, he nearly pitched a perfect game in a Super Bowl. You do realize that Super Bowl was 7 years later. When Perkins left to become coach and AD at Alabama, Parcells became the head coach. Because after that 79 year, Parcells reconsidered and then joined the Giants. And thus the sort of beginning of the run of Parcells with Belichick after Perkins left for Alabama. But Perkins was very meaningful in the early careers of Parcells and Belichick. So Phil Sims as a rookie, won his first ever game in week six in his first start against the Bucks, but it wasn't until 7 years later that Sims won a Super Bowl with Parcells as head coach, that over the Broncos in the Rose Bowl, Super Bowl 21. October 7th, 1979. I have a call out to see if I can find out some more info about some things that were going on that day involving that game. Also, the Giants never made the playoffs the entire 1970s. The Jets never made the playoffs the entire 1970s. The Saints never made the playoffs the entire 1970s. And obviously the Seahawks and the Bucks didn't, but they were only involved in four seasons in the 70s. There's a lot there, but I thought it was kind of fascinating. I hope you found something in there of interest. Probably just that Pete Rose was with Brent on the NFL Today in for the Greek, picking NFL games. And based on the book and my research, Pete went 2-2 against the spread. So there we go. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. Thanks for listening. Email me at right.todd@yahoo.com with any thoughts, podcast topics, or how you profited off our info on the most recent Super Bowl, AFC, NFC Championship Sunday, etc. I got a new refrigerator out of it. And a little bit more. We'll talk to you soon.